And we're going to be reading now about his steadfast love from two different passages. First from John 17 on page 903. And so the theme of the sermon is, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, from 1 John. And so we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John as well. We see how the Apostle John, when he wrote not only the Gospel but his letters, he had a unique emphasis on the love of God. And so we're going to see this afternoon God's love for the Father's love for Christ in all of eternity. We're going to see the Father's love in creation and also his love for fallen creation through Christ, and also his love for his children and how his love poured into his children overflows and grows within those children. And so we're going to see these themes first in John 17. We won't read the whole passage. We'll read the first 12 verses, and then we'll read the last seven verses. So John 17, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you gave me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And then we'll jump to verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. We'll jump to 1 John chapter 4 now, and we'll read from verses 7 to 21. So this is on page 1023 of the Pew Bible, page 1023. 1 John chapter 4. We see there that famous title, God is Love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation, the way of the fallen world is to manage things, not to care for people or things in and of themselves, but to use them, to dominate them as a means to an end. And this is seen as we look around the world, where people can be treated as dispensable, people can be left uncared for, people are seen as someone that can be sacrificed for my own self-service. And we see also that, you know, creation, God's creation, can be obliterated for our own personal needs without any question. Children can be aborted when inconvenient, and the weak can be exploited as long as it doesn't negatively affect us in ourselves or negatively affect our own home countries. And we see when we look around the world that there is no true love to be found. And because this is who we are by our sinful nature, we put that kind of unloving care on God. And so we need the teaching of God's word to correct our views of him, to give more honor to the Lord, so we could trust him more. Because when we look in Scripture, when we see who God the Father is, when we see what he has done, then we see true love. We see a love that cannot be found within this fallen world. And so the theme for this sermon comes from 1 John, see what kind of love the Father has given us. And as I mentioned, we'll see it in, you know, creation and before creation, also in Christ to sinners, and also as it's brought about in his children. And so we see in 1 John that God is love. That's a famous credo, a famous I believe, a famous confession that God is love. He always was and he always will be love. God's unchanging. And we see that even before creation, God was love. But we have to ask the question, how can this be? How can God love, right? Love requires an object, right? A husband loves his wife. You know, an owner loves its dog. And so love has to have an object. Well, before creation, we see how this love is explained by Jesus Christ. In John 17, verse 5, in the high priestly prayer, Jesus says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Before the world existed. And we also read about this in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Before the world existed, there was only one God. But God, revealing himself in Scripture, teaches us that he is triune. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So even though there was no creation, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed in perfect unity and perfect love. The Father loved the Son, as Jesus says. The Son loved the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loved the Father. And so we see they're perfectly united in one true love. And Jesus, he teaches that before anything was created, because the Father loved him, he glorified him. Because the Father loved the Son, he glorified the Son. And so we see the God, the Father, has an unending love for his eternal Son. And Jesus, the Son, he showed his love to the Father. In John 17, it says, by obeying his Father on earth, by glorifying the Father always on earth, not giving the glory to himself, but giving the glory to his Father. And this love of the Father, it didn't remain just within the Trinity. We see that God the Father, his love overflowed into creation, in the creation of all things. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, we read that by faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command or word, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Right? So this is just meaning all spirits, all space, matter, time itself, that God made it out of nothing, merely by his divine command, by his divine word. And we see here that the Father, he promised a bride, a people, to Jesus. His love overflowed for the Son by producing a people for his Son. In John 17, Jesus tells the Father, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So the love of the Father created Adam and Eve in order to commune and share his love with them and with his Son. As Jesus teaches, this was done so that they may be his people and he may be glorified in them. And we see that the Trinitarian love shared between the three persons is given to his creation. And just as love led to the glorification of the Son, so the love of God for creation led to creation's glorification as it received the great honor of being created by God. But we know that God hates sin as well. Psalm 11, verse 5 says, but God's soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. And so what's to come of God's love after Adam and Eve sinned, after humanity rebelled, after we stopped loving God in return? What was to happen? Would God's, the Father's gift of a people to the Son, you know, would that gift fall apart, come to nothing? Well, we see that the love of God is, as Song of Songs chapter 8 says, the love of God is stronger than death. Even though humanity plunged itself into self-destruction, yet we see that God's love is stronger than death, and it will deliver them. We see the Father's love is eternal, and so he's going to ensure that the church whom he promised, the people he promised to the Son, will be presented to the Son as a bride, as a people. The Father's love is going to pursue this fallen humanity. as it called out to Adam, right? Adam, where are you? Return to me. So God does to all sinners. Where are you? Return to me. And here we see the Father's perfect eternal love for the Son. We saw that already. And we saw the Father's love in his work of creation. But we also see the Father's love continued in the work of Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John 4, verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest, made visibly manifest in our presence, that God sent his only Son in the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so the Father has continued to love despite our sin. Because of our sin, he continued to love us through Christ, through his Son, through the Lord's death. And even though he had that eternal, perfect, mutual love with his Son, yet the Father sent Jesus Christ to suffer and to die in our place. And this is the great mystery of the Lord's love. Just as a young boy cannot fully comprehend the deeper, the wide and complex, more complex love of his parents, and so we will never fully comprehend it, the love of the Father. As Ephesians 4 says, the love of God surpasses knowledge. And yet we are called to trust God's love, to enter into it, to receive it, to admire it, to rejoice in his perfect love to us sinners in Christ. And through this work of love, we are then made children of the Father. Through the love expressed in Christ, we are made children. The same love that he has for the Son, he now grants to sinners through Christ. And we see that the Father's love is so perfect that it actually multiplies in us and through us. His love is completed in his children. In 1 John 4, we read, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's impossible. It's impossible that those who have a true faith in God, the Father, the God who is love, it's impossible that they will not in turn also love. Or to put it differently, those who have trusted the love of the Father will certainly love their Heavenly Father and their brothers and sisters in the faith. Since we are born again as a result of God's love, we continue to live in that love. The Father's love is not going to be extinguished when it has been started and kindled in our hearts. Just as the love of the Father for us overflowed in creation and how it continued to flow in Christ, and so this divine, one-of-a-kind, true love is poured into us. And therefore, it must also overflow and continue to multiply. A love of a sacrifice, a love of putting others first. And this is actually one of the chief concerns of Jesus Christ. And we see this in his high priestly prayer, that just as the Father and he have loved each other, so he wants his children to love one another. Jesus prayed, I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." And in John 17, verse 26, it says, "I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." What we see is that the only way the local church can be one, the only way we can be one, can be united, is if there is the divine, one-of-a-kind, true love. That love must, first of all, be in our hearts by true faith, changing us. And then it must flow out of us, upward towards God and to one another, directed outward rather than towards ourselves. If we do not have this divine, one-of-a-kind, true love, then Paul says that we are a noisy gong. And James says that our faith is dead. And the reason is that the Father's love results in communion. It results in glorification of the other. The Father loved the Son and glorified Him, and the Son loved the Father and glorified Him in return, living in communion with each other. And we saw that the Father, He loved creation and glorified it by his very act of creation, so that He could dwell with it, so He could walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And we also saw already that the Father, He loved fallen sinners through Christ in order to give His Son a people that He may dwell, may live, may speak with as a friend. And so we see for ourselves that the Father's love has made us His children by grace, that we may love Him and live with Him, but so that we may also love each other and to live with one another. And we can think of an image for this, right, with a family, right? You have parents, they work hard they work hard not to get things for themselves merely, right? A true loving parent works, creates, so that the entire household is provided for, not so that the kids can go off, live their own lives, and then eventually I can go off and live my own life, my perfect life, exploring the world or something. Right, that's not why parents should be loving and working for their families. Rather, a true loving parent, what do? They provide for the family, you know, a house, food to enjoy. They do this so that they may live together, may enjoy one another, may dwell together in each other's love. And so that's sort of a picture of what God the Father has done. The love of the Father created us and saved us, not so that, you know, we can go off and, you know, okay, now that I'm forgiven, I can go live my best life for myself. Rather, God the Father created us, saved us, so that we may live with His family, to enjoy each other, enjoy relationship with God and with our siblings in the faith. So we can ask ourselves, is living with the family of God, is worshiping and fellowshipping with them and God a burden? Is it something I don't enjoy? Something I'd prefer to avoid? Something done out of duty rather than duty and delight? And if you're truthful, you know, we admit that all of our hearts can at times run a little dry with love. Our love is not as deep as the Lord's. Our love is not as wide as it should be. And so when we find ourselves lacking in love, when we find ourselves, you know, troubled, sometimes we can be troubled by our own lack of love. How little, I don't really care for them. I know I should, but I don't care for them as much as I know I should. Well, then we have to return to the love of the Father to see what kind of love He has bestowed upon us. We have to return to His loving arms as the Father. We have to look into the eyes of His love in creation with Psalm 19, to hear His love sung by the birds and by the trees and the flowers. We have to learn to see His love in Christ, that perfect love that is willing to suffer and die upon the cross for us. And we have to also look to His love that He had for His children, for ourselves. How much love He has shown to us. And so when we taste and when we see the love of the Father by true faith, it's then that our hearts are equipped, that they are filled more and more, that they are deepened, that they are made wider, so that our love may grow, not only for God, the Father, but also for His family, for each other. And so when we look into the family of God, we see that our Father is leading His family in the way of the divine, one-of-a-kind, true love. And so as a congregation, let us make it our aim to follow our Father's leading in this. Amen.